T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Well, at some point, we'll probably appreciate winning the division 2 years in a row and the good that occurred this past year. But you know, today it's tough. And especially from my standpoint as a front office, we need to turn the page quick and get to work and get back here next year, back to hopefully winning the division and get deeper into the playoffs.
That's the voice of general manager, Braves general manager, Alex Anthopoulos, yesterday at their end of season press conference. A press conference that came all too soon. We don't want to be hearing from those guys at a podium like that for another couple of weeks, and certainly under better circumstances. But nonetheless, the season ended when it did, and it ended the way that it did, unfortunately. Let me ask it to you this way, Randy.
I'm listening, Andy.
Alex Anthopoulos is now 2 years into his tenure as general manager of the Braves.
That is correct.
How do you grade his first 2 years? And don't you really feel like we're going to learn more about him this offseason than we've been able to learn thus far?
I do. I think it's at a point where his last year, the young guys that we kept hearing about finally came up, played well. This year, I think the young players took another step. You go out there, you add a JD, who a lot of people, Josh Donaldson, who when he was signed, all of us were like, huh? I know me personally, I was like, hold on. Didn't Josh play third? You gave him $23 million, I thought. So what does that say about, had all those, because I was being sold that Austin Riley was the third baseman of the future. He's almost ready to go and all that. But then you look at how he did the trade deadline. No, they weren't like just outrageous moves, but they were moves. You know what I'm saying? And we didn't think that they were going to allow him to make those moves, because he even told Dukes and Bell that he had a...
Understood. It happens. A bug flew in your mouth. That happened to me yesterday, too.
Excuse me.
We got to get this bug problem fixed
in here. Yeah, but no, like he told Dukes and Bell, like he needed more money to do something. He was able to call them, and they said, go ahead, and they pulled the trigger. So will they do that this offseason as far as going out to get some guys? And I ain't talking about middle-level guys. I'm talking about see if you can get some of these big-name guys. I don't think Gerrit Cole is a legit option.
No.
I would like for them to like give him a holler.
Be great.
Hey, GC, what up, man? You want to be a Brave? All right, no problem. Thank you.
Have the conversation.
Have a conversation. That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm into that, and I'm with you. I think he's done a great job. They've been in the playoffs both years, and I think last year he sort of flexed his general manager muscle a little bit more than we had seen in year one. Now, a lot of the credit, I think, goes to the prior regimes for why the team has been so good the last couple of years. I mean, all of the young guys that have come up were drafted or signed by other people, and a lot of the talented veterans that were here were already here. So that doesn't, not to take anything away from Alex Anthopoulos, but I think it's fair to say he inherited a really good situation. There's nothing wrong with that. He's also made some really smart moves. Some of the trades, like you said, at the deadline worked out great. Josh Donaldson last year worked out fantastic. There's been some missteps too, like Jose Bautista. Remember that experiment? That didn't work out great. But every general manager is going to have a little bit of misstep here and there. Bottom line is they've been in the playoffs both years. The expectation now, though, is to make the World Series next year.
Yeah.
Like, they won 97 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
You got to not only win the NLDS next year, you got to get into the NLCS and hope to win that, too. So this offseason for me is being able to kind of further what you accomplished in the year last year, which was get Liberty Media to give you more money to go out there and make the team better. That was in season.
Yeah.
I don't know why it was different in season than preseason, and maybe he said it wasn't. He said he had the money preseason if he wanted to spend it, but he just didn't want to spend it at that point. Well, spend it in the offseason and bring some guys in here to really get this thing going from the start of the year. Because remember, the Braves were at 500 40 games into the season.
They were.
And then they made a couple different lineup moves and called a guy up and then went out and got Keuchel about a month later, and everything really started to get going. Get it going from opening day next year.
I mean, that's the thing about it. We don't want to see this team, fall behind, because I think the Nats are going to be really good next year.
Sure.
I think whoever the Phillies hire, I think that's a good job, because you look at the talent that they have. I mean, Of course, the Dodgers are always going to be the Dodgers. We found out how good and how gritty the St. Louis Cardinals are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be some good teams in the NL next year. The Brewers. I mean, the Cubs. Who knows what's going to happen?
Sure.
You know, we know that Madden's moving on, but I'm sure they're going to get the right guy in there to manage all that good talent. So, I mean, it's going to be a tight race in the National League, but so? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you can go out there and you find some guys and plug some of these holes, then you can be right back in the mix for it. But a lot of these young guys, I'm ready to see them. I'm tired of reading about Pache and Waters and these dudes. To me, I think it's time for them to go. Is it time for Ian Anderson to get in this rotation? So let's do it.
I don't think anything we did with our roster, anything we did with our rotation was wrong. I think everything worked, actually. The biggest thing, we lost one of our top relievers the first game of the series. And we'd worked our rears off in that game to get that game where we wanted it. We had it exactly the way we wanted it. It didn't work.
So that's Brian Snitker yesterday doubling down on the decision to have Dallas Keuchel be the game one, game four starter. Have Mike Soroka only go one game in game three and have a great game in game three and get the win. I mean, I wouldn't expect anything different. I think Snicker's going to go to the podium yesterday and say, yeah, we blew it.
Yeah.
Keuchel was a mistake. He was a disaster. Should have never done that. Like, it wasn't going to, because I think the thought process of using Dallas Keuchel in game one and game four still makes sense. But I also understand the thought process of wanting to have Mike Soroka in there for two games also. And now we have the benefit of hindsight. Dallas Keuchel didn't work. They didn't win either one of those two games. So it's real easy to second guess it now.
I mean, always it was easy to second guess it. I mean,
hindsight is 2020.
It's 2020. I get all that, but damn. I mean, how did you not see that your best pitcher is supposed to pitch? I get the reasoning because of that, the ERA on the road. But I mean, if he's your dude, you know how I am about your dudes. If them your dudes, you go with your dudes.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? You go down swinging with them. But again, I was okay with the Keuchel thing. I understood why they went with it, but I always thought that you should want Mike Soroka.
You ever know somebody in your life that always gets phrases wrong?
Yeah.
Like, you know, cliches like hindsight is 2020 or something like that, but they always get it slightly wrong.
Right.
My wife is like that, but she'll combine them.
Uh-huh.
Like one time, I don't know how this happened, but one time she tried to say hindsight is 2020.
Uh-huh.
Then she said hindsight.
Okay.
Like Heinz, like the ketchup. Hindsight is 50-50.
Hey, man.
Hindsight is 50-50.
I know she's meant.
Excuse me?
I know she meant.
Like a 50-50 chance of Heinz seeing it? Like, what do you? Anyway.
I know what you meant.
One of the more endearing things that she does.
I'm one of those guys. I'm one of those people. I don't really try to correct people as much because I'm always one of those. I know what you meant.
Right. If you know what they mean, you know what they mean.
But then you're wrong. Like, dude, you know what the hell I mean.
I'm not you're wrong guy, but I'm like a, hang on, what did you say?
See, that's what I'm saying. I'm not that dude. I'm like, cool.
As much as
I mess up, I'm like, and then somebody might try to correct me. Like, you know what I meant, though, because you pointed it out what I meant.
Yeah.
So just, you know.
Just roll with it.
Just roll with it or go over there. Get your biscuit.
I could use a biscuit. I'm starving.
You know, like in trying times like this, everybody's gonna have opinions.
Red Lobster biscuits.
Oh, they need to do this.
Better biscuits.
He needs to do this. He needs to do that. Oh, we need to do this. It's like you can't do it. You can't do that if you don't fix yourself first. And I feel like, you know, me, like I need to fix Julio Jones first before I can go and hey, do this or do that. You know. And once everybody do that, and collectively, if everybody get on the same page doing their job, right, we'll get it going.
Julio Jones, yesterday at his press conference, which was conducted in a library,
for
whatever reason.
He's so quiet.
Decided he would whisper.
He's quiet and preaching at the same time.
Yeah. Like, so do you think that was a literal comment? Or like, was he saying figuratively, everyone needs to look within before we can become a better team as a whole? Or was he saying, like, literally, me, Julio Jones, I've got problems. I got to fix Julio, and then things will be better.
He's talking about the team.
Okay, that's what I asked.
Yeah, he's talking to the team. Because
but if you take it literally, what's wrong with Julio?
Yeah,
what's
he saying? Oh, my God. Julio's not happy. No.
Yeah.
When you're at a crossroad like this in the season, and you, especially when you lost three straight games, you got to start self-evaluating yourself. Am I doing my best? Am I doing my job? Because the one thing about football is the film don't lie. And you can look right there on the tape and see if you're messing up. And you can see if you're not necessarily giving your best effort, but if you are putting yourself in a position to win your matchup every single game. And a lot of these dudes ain't. I mean, this call it what it is. A lot of them ain't. And if you sit there and you want to keep talking and worried about everything else, like cutting your dreads and all this other nonsense that ain't got nothing to do with the game, then you're gonna continue to lose because you're worried about everything else but that. Go play.
I wonder, you know, the Falcons offense has been pretty effective when they've been behind and had to throw the ball a lot to try to get back into games. I mean, Matt Ryan, he he's leading the NFL in all kinds of quarterback stats.
Oh, he always does.
No, I'm just hang on. Hang on 1 second. I agree with you. I'm just saying, like, do you have to wait till you get behind to use your offense that way?
Obviously.
Because I know that they want to try to establish a balance. But maybe they don't have to. Like, maybe you don't have to be balanced. Maybe you can't be balanced. You know what I mean? Whether it's the run blocking that isn't there from the offensive line. Maybe Devontae Freeman just isn't Devontae Freeman anymore, which kind of doesn't seem like he is. Like, you don't have to wait till you're down 2 touchdowns to air it out like that.
I agree.
Because they've been really successful in the second half of games. Mm-hmm. And Matt Ryan stats and Julio and all the other receivers, they got like 4 guys on the team with more than 20 receptions right now. Austin Hooper's having a nice season. Like, maybe just start the game like that. Like, pretend like you're down 2 touchdowns and be pass first.
I tell you what, man. I've been in situations where that phrase came up. Man, we can't never get nothing started. We always got to come back. So I'll tell you what. We're going to go out there like it's 14-0. All right. So in the actual game, when it was 14-0, we were down 28-0. Like, dude, that's so stupid.
Okay, sorry.
You know?
But I mean, can't they just throw the ball at first? Because establishing the run and being a balanced offense doesn't seem to be a reality. Like, be who you are.
Be who you are. And you said that early this week. Be who you are. Matt Ryan and his offense is who they are. Just go out there and unleash them. And you know what? Whatever, Dan, you can do, bend, don't break, whatever.
Why do you think they're so focused on not doing that? Like, why are they so focused on trying to establish
so
something else?
Cliche-ish. We got to be balanced. We got to run past all that.
Why? Hey, who cares? Just do what
because
works.
Because you don't have the houses up front, the houses up front, to be able to do that. That's why you can't just sit back and let Matt Ryan throw it 46 times a game. Because you're going to get him killed.
Yeah.
Especially if you put number 71 out there.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be interesting to see who starts on the offensive line on Sunday. Let's give away $1,000. Let's do it.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
balloon.
Balloon.
Balloon. Text balloon to 72881. You have until 159 to text balloon to 72881. Message and data rates apply. Do not text and drive, please. And for complete rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules. Again, the code word for today and the last day of the week is balloon.
Balloon. Balloon. Text it in. We want to make some money.
B-A-L-L-O-O-N.
We want you to make some money.
Hey, text it to 72881, not the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't text the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Now, you can also text the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. If you just want to check in,
yeah,
you want to wish us a happy Friday,
yeah,
kill Randy, you think his Georgia jacket is cool.
Because you can see it on watch929thegame.com.
It is cool. It's like one of those half-zip golf jackets, but it's short sleeve.
Yeah, I look like a coach.
You do look like a coach. Like, you walked in here today looking like the tight end coach.
Yeah, I look like a coach.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, you just need a whistle or a stopwatch or something like
right
that.
There.
That's exactly what it is.
You guys, you can text in there. You can look at us and all that good stuff. You can get your AMA questions in early.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and wonder why Andy is being drugged to a wedding at noon. And
reason, I'm happily going
and
to a wedding.
The reason I'm trying to start up, because I think she's in the car right now.
She is now in the car.
Yeah, I think she's in the
car. She is officially now in the car.
Yeah, so I'm trying to start something to get you in trouble.
I had that long
3 hours in the car.
Really? Yeah. That's what you're wishing on me on a Friday?
Oh, yeah.
My partner.
I love your brother.
In radio.
I know you don't want to go.
I do want to go. Are you trying to get me in trouble? Because earlier today I asked you when your anniversary was and you couldn't even remember the month.
Well, at least she's not listening. I know she's not.
That's true. Let's keep it moving.
They do a great job up front defensively. They got a lot of big guys and more big bodies than they've had in the past, and they're healthy. And then offensively, they've got one of the best wide receivers that I've seen on tape in Brian Edwards. He does a great job. Helinski is a very talented quarterback. We recruited him hard here. He's had extreme arm talent. He can make all the throws. And they're doing a lot of things that are tough to defend offensively. And they put pressure on you from a special team standpoint.
Kirby Smart talking about all the things that South Carolina does offensively. And look, it's going to be a fun game to watch. Early game tomorrow, noon kickoff between Georgia and South Carolina. Not quite the same sizzle that past Georgia and South Carolina games have had, fortunately, because what? My bad.
Yeah.
I didn't mean. She's listening now.
Oh, the reliable radio.com app.
See, the radio.com app is very helpful. Although maybe for getting you in trouble on the West.
Yeah.
It's not true. I made that story up.
Oh, the old radio.com
what
app.
I just said earlier was not true. It was an incorrect statement. I misspoke. I am looking forward to the game for a couple different reasons. I mean, A, it's the next game on the schedule. We'll be interested to see what Georgia looks like tomorrow. But I like Ryan Helinski.
He's
a good player.
He's a good player.
With a great story, or a sad story.
Sad story, right.
His brother committed suicide last year. He was a quarterback at Washington State. And seeing everything, his family's been so public about that, and, you know, dealing with mental health issues and, you know, suicide prevention and all of that. So it's you got to root for the kid.
Yeah.
But obviously you hope Georgia beats him tomorrow.
Oh, no, we're going to beat him tomorrow.
Yes.
You know, we're not worried about that. We're going to beat him tomorrow and do all that stuff and put foots all up in him. And you know, I'm trying to find this thing real quick so I can pub it. But
did I get you in trouble?
No, dude. Man, I run my house.
Right? Okay, good.
Okay, unlike you, I run my house. And again, you guys come hang out with me at the Wing Cafe and Tap House and Marriott. I said Trap House, it's Tap House. Tomorrow from 12 to 2. I'm out there hanging out watching the Georgia game. I did call it Trap House. I run my house.
Brian Baldinger is going to join us next. He probably runs his house, too.
I wouldn't be going to win on Saturday.
All right. We'll be back. The show is completely, completely ridiculous. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Friday. Thanks for being with us on a Friday. 20 minutes from now, we'll get to our AMA segment. Any question, any topic, either on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line or on Twitter at TBM929. Also on Twitter right now, you can check out our Braves conversation from earlier today where we asked, what are the three biggest things the Braves have to take care of this offseason? And I just retweeted a video breakdown by our next guest, Brian Baldinger, who joins us from radio.com. He's our NFL insider, brought to you by your local Ford dealers. Baldy does these great video breakdowns every single week.
And he always got some with the Falcons.
Well, look, I mean, it's not his fault. It's not his fault that the video is saying what it's saying, but he just tweeted this out. And Baldy, for people that probably haven't seen it yet, can you just kind of walk us through what is happening on this play and why it's so indicative of the Falcons' defensive struggles this season?
Well, I mean, you've got a stack route on third down, third and three, between Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins. And the Falcons are in man coverage. And both defenders, Trufant and Oliver, both go with Hopkins. And Will Fuller, who was left alone most of the day, you know, comes off the stack, and it's an easy throw, an easy read for Deshaun Watson. And it's just, you know, you get these stack routes all the time in this league, and that's all they want you to do is to screw up, and it makes it an easy read for the quarterback. But it should never happen. I mean, you've got two receivers. They're in a stack. It's third down. You turn around, you know, are you banjoing it? Are you zoning it? Are you manning? What are you doing just to make sure? And both defenders went with DeAndre Hopkins, which made no sense because they had Ricardo Allen sitting in the hole to double him anyways. So, I mean, but it's play after play. It's the first two touchdowns of the game. I mean, they're out of position because they really are indecisive and they really don't know what anybody's doing right now. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the number of chunk plays, 51 yards, 44-yard touchdowns, I mean, it's just hard to watch. You know, I don't know what Dan Quinn is doing, but it's hard to watch, and I'm in a room hundreds of miles away from Atlanta. It's hard to watch.
Yeah, trust me, it's been hard to watch for everybody here too. How can that be though? Like, I mean, something so simple, and for it to happen over and over and over again. I mean, do you point to coaching? Do you point to just players making mistakes play after play? Like, how do you explain this type of defense?
Well, it has to start with coaching, because it's clear the players aren't communicating and they're not sure. Now, you could say, okay, Jonathan Cyprian, he played. You know, he's a new guy there. Kendall Sheffield's a new player. He's a rookie. But, like, we're talking about veteran players that have been in the system that are messing up. And, I mean, from the first touchdown of the game, I really don't know what Des Trufant is looking at. There are quarters coverage, typical coverage of that play. I mean, nobody squeezes Fuller on the touchdown throw. I mean, it's one after another. But it always starts with coaching. And I'm sure Dan Quinn is going over this over and over and over again. He's the coordinator. It falls on him. But they're not, you know, they're their own worst enemy. They're not giving themselves a chance to compete when they continually break down with assignment errors right now.
And Baldy, with that being said, we know that the front end works with the back end. But even with pass rush, when you have those kind of communications in the back end, it don't matter if you had Reggie and LT on that line.
No, but I mean, it would help.
It would.
I mean,
it would help, Randy. But, you know, I mean, look, I just, they gave up five touchdown passes to Deshaun Watson. He'd done it one other time in his life. But, I mean, he knows what he's looking at. He, you know, I mean, he's really a smart player, and he really knows what defense you're in. But I don't even understand if you're not rushing Vic Beasley and Tack McKinley. I mean, I know they don't have a lot of sacks. But, I mean, the only game they won this year against the Eagles, they were impactful players in the game. And, you know, they got to Carson Wentz and forced a lot of mistakes and all the way to the final end of the game. But I don't understand if you're dropping those guys into coverage and they're basically just flat players and, you know, guarding grass. I mean, let them do what they were drafted to do. Let them go after Deshaun Watson. These three-man pass rushes in this league, these quarterbacks are too good. And you can say we're going to take these zones away and we're going to tighten the windows, Randy, but be honest with you, they're not doing that either.
Right.
So you might as well just let these guys try to, you know, at least use their speed and whatever abilities they have to get after the quarterback.
Brian Baldinger joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. He is our NFL insider from Radio.com, brought to you by your local Ford dealers. What are they going to have to do against the Cardinals this Sunday? What is it that the Cardinals do well that's going to give the Falcons trouble?
Well, they throw the ball a lot, you know. I mean, that's what Kyle Murray does. And, you know, if he's not throwing it, he's looking to run. I mean, he basically won the game for him against Cincinnati in a two-minute drill, and he basically ran the ball down the field. And for whatever reason, Cincinnati just, they didn't spy him. They didn't have a whole player for him. And he saw it right away. I mean, he's pretty experienced at it. But they got some good young players now, Christian Kirk's and, you know, Keyshawn Johnson. I mean, they're good young players. They'll use David Johnson in a variety of ways. He led the league in yards from scrimmage a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. But they get it to him in space. And, you know, I mean, they're not a great offense line. They're not a great offense, but I mean, Kyler Murray is looking to put a dagger in you any chance he gets. I mean, he's a heck of a competitor. He's been sacked a bunch, but he just keeps getting up and he keeps firing. I haven't seen him hurt, and I haven't seen him tired yet. And it looks like he's having a lot of fun, even though the record probably doesn't dismiss it. But they're looking to stack wins right now for the first time in his career. So, I mean, you know, they've got some defensive players over on the other side that are capable of making plays. They have a lot of inexperience over there as well. So I'm sure Matt Ryan is looking to exploit that. But Kyler Murray is an unbelievable competitor. He threw for 350 yards on the road against Baltimore. And, you know, I mean, all the way to the end, they had him in contention in that game.
Baldwin, when you look at this Arizona defense, and I know one of my keys to the game was if you can block Terrell Suggs and Chandler Jones, you might have a chance you will have a chance to be able to move the ball up and down against this field. The Cardinals on Sunday without the help of a guy like a Patrick Peterson.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think it starts with pass rush. I mean, I think Kyler Murray's been sacked 21 times, like basically once every 10 or 11 passes right now. So, I mean, people have gotten to him, and he'll go down. I mean, you know, I mean, look, he's a little vertically challenged. He doesn't see all that great, but, you know, he's got great feet, and he's looking to get out of a jam anytime he can. And so he gets himself into some jams by taking off sometimes, probably too soon, Randy, but it certainly starts there, you know, in being able to block those guys right now for, you know, to protect Matt Ryan. It's been a problem, but, you know, they put up 32 points last week. Most weeks, most seasons in Atlanta, 32 points is probably gets you on the winning end of a lot of games. But, you know, when you put up 53 on the other side, I mean, that's not going to help.
What do you make of the way that the pass interference review process has gone thus far, the replay system has gone thus far for pass interference?
Well, I think it's clear. I mean, we had a seminar this summer at the NFL Network and at Fox, and we went through it with Al Riveron, and we couldn't get any calls right in the seminar. You know, which one was just unconditional pass interference. None of us could get it right.
Huh.
And they can't get it right now. I mean, coaches really, they're challenging these things. They challenged it last night. But they're not winning these challenges. They're not overturning a lot. So now coaches are really confused about what pass interference is. Is if a defensive player's hands are all over the wide receiver, I mean, you tell me, Randy, wasn't that usually pass interference?
Yeah, it was.
But, I mean, evidently it isn't right now. And so I think coaches are just scratching their heads. They're burning these challenges.
Right.
Because it looks clear that it's pass interference. It's obstructing the receiver from catching the football. I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. And yet these calls aren't getting overturned. So we're not getting it right on the in the booth. The announcers aren't getting it right. The officials that work for these networks aren't getting it right. The coaches aren't getting it right. But I know we're 5 weeks in, so maybe it will. You know, maybe we'll figure it out by the time we get to Thanksgiving, or hopefully by the time we get to the playoffs. But it doesn't look like anybody really understands fully just what any of these calls are. It looks as subjective as ever right now.
Where are you at this weekend, Baldy?
I'm in Kansas City.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, Houston, Kansas City. So, you know, we may see a real shootout there at Arrowhead.
That's gonna be some fireworks right there. What do you make of this this Kansas City team without Tyreek Hill? Seems like the teams are able to to jam up those receivers. I don't know if Sammy Watkins is going to play, and Kelsey, he needs to have a bounce back game after last week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Indianapolis did a good job of playing keep away. Mm-hmm. They ran the ball over 40 times against them, and basically they kept the ball away from Mahomes. But, yeah, but at 13 points, I mean, even if you're throwing to Byron Pringle, and go look him up, Randy, find out who he is, I mean, that's who they're throwing to right now. But caught a touchdown pass last week. But, yeah, I mean, they're much better with Tyreek Hill. They're much better when Sammy Watkins is in the lineup. But, you know, they're not making any excuses there either. And, you know, this is a no-mercy league. So, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is going to throw it to the open receiver, whether they like it or not. And, I thought Indianapolis, they played four rookies last week. I mean, they played really great defense. They really had a good game plan against them. And they didn't make it easy. Detroit the week before didn't make it easy. So, I think, I expect that they'll have a bounce-back game as an offense this week, though.
Hey, Baldy, we appreciate it, man.
Baldy.
Have a great time this weekend.
Guys.
We'll talk to you next Friday.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Brian Baldinger there from Radio.com. He's our NFL insider, brought to you by your local Ford dealers. He's probably going to get a chance to talk to the coaches. He might want to pass along to the Chiefs. Guard Will Fuller. Like, try to guard him, because the Falcons didn't do that last week. Well, that's why he had 200 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Well, I mean, it was a pathetic performance.
It was a pathetic
defensive performance. Hey, Atlanta Falcons fans, tune in to 99 The Game, 2 hours before every Falcons football game. For the Bud Light Countdown to kick off, Harry Douglas and Paul Crane.
Woo!
We'll preview the Falcons' upcoming matchup. Continue to Countdown to Kickoffs is brought to you by Bud Light. She's looking at Carl Dukes. Brewed for the Dirty Birds.
Oh, you gave him the upside down.
Oh, yeah.
Longhorn.
Carl was rocking a whole lot of Texas stuff, so I just threw the upside down horn.
We'll come back and get to an AMA. Any question, any topic. If you want to listen to something between now and then, you could go to 929thegame.com. Our keys to the Falcons game are up there, as well as that Brian Baldinger interview already. So go over there. You can listen to it all over again. AMA coming up next. Any question, any topic. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, as well as on Twitter at TBM929. We'll answer your questions next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Haviland Express Loop Sports Flash. For specials and more, go to HavilandSportsFlash.com.
I'm Mike Conti. Week 7 of the college football season has conference games for Georgia, Georgia Tech, and Georgia State tomorrow. The Dogs have an early home kickoff against South Carolina, and Kirby Smart says the Gamecocks will present a challenge to their defense.
Alinsky is a very talented quarterback. We recruited him hard here. He's had extreme arm talent. He can make all the throws. And they're doing a lot of things that are tough to defend.
Georgia Tech is on the road at Duke, and Georgia State visits Coastal Carolina tomorrow evening. You can hear that game starting at 4:30 tomorrow on 92.9 The Game. Game 1 of the NLCS is tonight in St. Louis with the Cardinals and Miles Michaelis facing the Nationals and Anibal Sanchez. Meanwhile, the ALCS is now set between the Astros and Yankees after Houston beat Tampa Bay 6-1 Thursday night. The Falcons are winding down their preparations for Sunday's game at Arizona. They've had a crowded injury report all week, which includes Julio Jones dealing with a hip injury. Thursday night, the Patriots beat the Giants 35-14. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Mike Conti from the Kia Studios on your home of Sunday's Falcons-Cardinals game. Kickoff at 4, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything. Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, final segment for us here on a Friday. Crazy, huh, Randy? We made it.
Long week, brother.
It's been a good week. Well.
No. It's just been a long week.
It's been fun to help.
Yeah.
Try to help.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. But it's been a long week, brother.
It's been a tough week. Yeah, it was a tough week. Hopefully next week will be better. That starts on Sunday with a Falcons win over the Cardinals. That would be fantastic. Any question, any topic, brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org, either on the text line at the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929 or on Twitter at TBM929. Got to give a quick shout out to my guy Major, the Uber driver that got me safely to work this morning.
Uh-huh.
Took an Uber because Ashley's going to pick me up. We're going to drive to North Carolina right after the show.
All
right. Shout out to Uber. I got, or not to Uber, to Major.
Right.
I got in the car and he had 92.9 on.
Uh-huh.
And it was great. So we talked all about the station, the people that he likes, some of the people that he doesn't like.
Uh-huh.
It was good. It was good to get a listener perspective. He thinks you're funny.
Oh, well. I like him already.
Yeah, he was great.
Thank you.
So thank you, Major. Anyway, you ready?
Let's do it.
More delusional fan base, Tennessee or Michigan?
Probably Michigan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are they?
Probably.
I don't know.
I don't like to call people delusional because Georgia is a delusional fan base. We ain't won nothing but recruiting titles.
Trust me. We both are fans of programs that are delusional.
Yeah.
Washington Husky fans are delusional. Everybody's delusional.
Yeah.
Who's more? I don't know, though, man.
I say Michigan.
Like, the Tennessee fans, like, banded together and got Greg Schiano unhired.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess they got what they wanted, and now they have it.
Did they get what they wanted?
Now they got what they got what they wished for. Favorite happy song. Yesterday we got favorite, like, go-to sad song. What's your favorite happy song?
Come Back to Me.
Okay. The song I really like, there's a song, maybe nobody knows it. There's a song called by a guy named Kurt Vile called Waking on a Sunny Day.
All right.
It's just like the happiest, like getting up on a sunshiny day and being a happy person. I love that song.
Probably Before I Let Go by Frankie and Beverly.
That's a good song.
You know,
that's Frankie really,
because whenever it come on, it just puts you in a good mood, man.
Yeah, that's a nice song.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Sesame Street character?
Of course, Oscar.
You kind of are Oscar, except you don't live in a trash
can. You see my bag over there?
You got a nice house.
My bag that my wife bought me that I came for lunch in? Got Oscar the Grouch on it. My family bought that for me.
That because you're kind of grouchy.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I own it.
Yeah.
I own it.
Who do I like? I like Grover, kind of.
I ain't like Grover.
I like Grover.
I thought Grover was soft.
I like Grover. Well, maybe that's why I like Grover.
I thought Grover was soft.
Big Bird's not bad.
No, I mean, like the one thing about Oscar that looked like
Snuffleupagus.
Oscar looked like if something went down on Sesame Street, that he'd be the one to start throwing hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody else would be running.
I think the count would help. The count would help him out if something went wrong. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
I can tell you got it, baby. Now you talking about some Elmo about their life, man. Elmo will be the first one to run.
Elmo is getting like a talk show or something like that. There's going to be like an Elmo talk show. I've never really understood the infatuation with Elmo.
Really? Oh, dude, I never forget this. I remember, you know, my oldest daughter had Sierra when I was in high school. And that's right around when the daggone Tickle Me Elmo came out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I remember being like 19 years old trying to find my daughter a Tickle Me Elmo never find it. But I don't understand the fascination with that. But
neither do I.
But I mean.
But Jahi says, just wait. Maybe I'll understand someday. Right. Hopefully someday soon. Working on it.
Nephew, niece, you need to hurry up.
You're telling me. If you could go back in time and play college football for a coach that's no longer alive, which coach would you want to play for and why?
Oh, that's a good question.
Mine's easy. Don James.
That's a great question.
Don James, greatest coach in the history of University of Washington. I'd love to have played for the Dog Father. That's what they call him. Is it okay that they use the dog for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, that's a great one. I don't know. He's dead.
Yeah.
I would have played for Vince Dooley, I guess.
Vince Dooley's not dead.
You said that. Oh, I think you said that's not dead. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to wish that on you, Coach. Never would. I don't know.
All right. Bo Schembechler? He's dead.
Okay,
Woody Hayes. I don't know. I'm just throwing names out there. All right.
I don't know a lot of dead coaches.
Why did you guys try to get each other's wives mad at you today?
Because it's Friday.
Might as well. I mean, look, Randy's wife's on the West Coast. She can only be so mad at him.
Yeah.
It's not really going to impact his weekend that much.
No, it's not.
Now, you did try to get me in trouble,
I was not trying to get you in trouble. I was just trying to have fun.
Okay.
I know that you love your wife more than anything in this world, and I know that you're excited to have to go to a wedding during football season that starts at noon when all these games are playing. I know you want to be there for your wife.
Will Andy be watching college football on an iPad or an iPhone during college football this weekend? That's the other question. Probably. I mean, I'll check. Here's the thing, though. Like, the groom is a huge college football fan. Mm-hmm. He's a Tennessee fan, though, so he probably doesn't care that
that's
much
what
about
it is.
But there will be people keeping tabs on games reception, and I'll be one of those.
Because the thing about it is, you're not the only man that's going to be at this wedding. Like, I can't believe it.
You know? My week. blank college football team doesn't play till 10:30 again, and I don't even know if I want to watch them play anyway.
Yeah, but no,
bad as they played last weekend.
And plus, this shows me that this guy loves his wife.
He's very excited. That's going to be a beautiful wedding.
That's great.
It's at a place called Cataloochee. Apparently, there are wild elk, and maybe I'll get to see some elk this weekend.
Man,
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm already trying to picture that video. Something on Rex block of charge when one of them elks run through the tent.
Oh, I hope
and
that doesn't happen.
And Andy's trying to calm them down because you and Ashley make these noises with wild animals in the woods. Like her bear song?
She does have a bear song. But that's to keep the bears away, not to try to attract them.
I know, but I can see you got y'all probably got an elk song too. It's just elky.
You think I'm an elk whisperer? I don't know how to do that. What's the first alcoholic beverage you will have this weekend?
When I get home, I'm probably going to take me a shot of warm liquor.
Okay. Nice. Vodka?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have a beer tonight once we get up there to North Carolina.
Yeah.
But we're going over to her grandparents' house first, so no drinking over there at the grandparents' house.
Of course.
But then we'll get back to her folks' place. And usually Jim keeps a pretty well-stocked fridge. So some kind of beer at some point, maybe around 9 o'clock tonight.
Cool.
Better soccer player, Messi or Ronaldo?
I like Ronaldo.
I like Messi.
Okay.
Never really been a Ronaldo guy. Not sure why. Randy, who were your favorite teams growing up, pro and college?
Pro, I was I was raised here in Atlanta, so it was Falcons growing up. And then in college, probably it was Florida State. I really didn't have a big allegiance to college. But, yeah, I was a big Falcon fan until I went to the NFL, and I couldn't be a Falcon fan anymore. Well, I mean, I can root for him. Yeah. I still want him to win.
But, I mean, look, you're a Dolphins
fan. But
I'm
a Dolphins, yeah.
Hawks?
Uncle Dave said I couldn't cheer for the Hawks after they got rid of Dominique. But I told him, I was like, Unc, I work for the Hawks, you know, and everything. So I want them to be good. But, yeah, he's like, oh, they did Dominique wrong. I was like, Unc. It was a long time ago.
You guys are kind of young. Thank you. But where do you rate LL Cool J in the rap game?
Dude, he's one of the greatest of all times, dude. You know, I mean, when he came out with that, his first album, I'm Bad. Oh, then I Need Love. I mean, Candy Girl. Candy. Come on, man.
Yeah, I'm too young to appreciate it.
I love LL.
Like, when he had the elementary school stuff, he had like Around the Way Girl and songs like that. Yeah, he was kind of doing a little bit more R&B.
Yeah, no.
It was fine.
LL was hard.
I don't know.
I liked LL.
I wasn't around for that.
Yeah, I liked LL.
I was around for later LL. And now you listen back to it.
I'm Bad.
It's hard to put it in the context of the time because now you listen to it and it's like, oh, that's all right.
Man, I still go
LL. But you can't do it. I'm not a huge LL fan. I'll be honest with you about it.
I'm surprised you know him. You probably thought he was the guy in the Shark movie.
He is the guy in the Shark movie.
But he was,
that movie was
he's
bad.
Bigger than that.
Jahi's mad because he's from New York, and everybody who's from New York's a better rapper than everybody else.
Well, you didn't know that?
Just ask a guy from New York.
Okay.
You want to do your live read now?
I guess so.
At the Trap House?
Yeah. Hey, there he is right there. Come on, LL.
You hear this?
So bad. Are you crazy? You're crazy, man. Okay, well, Andy's being crazy. Hey, Atlanta football fans. Join Harry Douglas, Paul Crane, and 99 The Game at J.R. Crickets in College Park off Bang Street this Sunday. This is Camp Creek? Okay. Hang out with the guys with a butt like countdown to kick off the preview the Atlanta versus
Oh, did you
Arizona.
Say Paul Crane?
Paul Crane.
Woo!
They're J.R. Crickets in College Park off Main Street. Starting at 2 on Sunday. Make sure y'all go holler at them.
This is like... For the time, this was great.
Dude, this goes so
but then
hard.
It evolved.
Man, you crazy.
If somebody came out with a song like this right now, it wouldn't even, you would listen to it for 2 seconds.
I give a phony tap. I'm bad.
Yeah. It is bad.
Cool
I agree. We'll come back and give you our takeaways of the day.
Cool J.
Hand off to Duke Sabel also, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Cool J.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.